Pop-Up Theatre presents Essex Boys Whispers, a Sherlock Holmes review, hosted by Alexandria Kay.
Welcome back, listeners, to our first factual fiction Sherlock Holmes review for this year. The case in question is based on the episode Sherlock Holmes in Executioners of Essex, which is about the Essex Boys murders that occurred on 6th December 1995 in the village of Rettenden in Essex, when three drug dealers were shot dead in a Range Rover on a small farm track. Our guest today, Mr. Adam Ball, hails from Southend, Essex, and is a paranormal investigator who has been working on the case of the Rettenden murders for over 2 years now. Adam, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. It's been exciting listening to you guys.
It's great to have you here. So my first question for you is, did you listen to our Sherlock Holmes episode, Executioners of Essex, and what did you think about it?
Yeah, I did listen to that. Really enjoyed it. I like the sort of meticulous way, a very Sherlock way of doing an investigation, the way he picked up on bits that, you know, could well have been missed on the original investigation. You know, I found it very intriguing.
And what did you think of Sherlock being in your neighbourhood, your town in Essex?
That would have been really cool. Yeah, Sherlock coming to Essex, brilliant. About time we got out of London.
Right. So it's such an intriguing case. And even 27 years on, the general public are still very much invested in this crime. Why do you think that is?
It's been like the ultimate whodunit, really, because even now, no one except those closest involved with it know who pulled the trigger. Basically, the ultimate crime it is the perfect murder because no one knows.
So you're a true Essex lad, growing up during the time that the Essex Boys were making a name for themselves around the country, particularly in Basildon and Southend. Can you describe that time a little bit for us?
At that time, the early mid-noughties, Essex particularly, Southend, Romford, Basildon to an extent, were quite vibrant areas. Very busy on the club scene, you know, and the Doors were controlled by a few people, and Tony being one of them. And in light of what happened with Leah Betts, that made national coverage because she died of an ecstasy overdose, which the drug supplies was basically traced back to Tony Tucker.
So then what's your take on it and all the surrounding theories?
The take is whether you believe they were shot around 7 or 8 o'clock or around midnight. And then with the investigations I've done more on the paranormal side, and also, there's a couple of other channels out there, it appears that the shooters have been narrowed down to me, anyway, to one or two people. You've got the Mr. D that Billy Jasper dropped off around midnight, and there was a witness statement to back up that corroborated the gunshots that went off. So you've got Mr. D, or when I'd done the paranormal side of it, the finger was actually pointed at the guy turned supergrass.
You mean Darren Nichols?
Yep.
Right.
So to me, those are the two prime suspects. But it's whoever Mr. D is, because that was never quite revealed. There's one or two leads on who Mr. D is, one being an ex-military. I think those are the closest things, but the other conspiracies that the car was taken up on a flatbed and it was done elsewhere and the car was dropped off there. You know, and then you've got the story that Darren Nichols gave out, that the two shooters being Mickey and Jack Wombs. You know, and here's the other conspiracies. It was the police that done it because Paul Betts, which was Leah Betts' dad, he was an officer in the Met. He had a collection of shotguns. Then, you know, there's the police in general because they just want them off their patch. There's a whole host of things out there and, you know, quite a few of them are plausible.
Right. So from what I hear so far, it sounds like you're sort of in between Mr. D or Nichols himself who did the shooting.
I've come down to those two, unless Mr. D is Darren. That's the only other connection. The last bits of content I've done for my channel, I focused on Billy Jasper's account and the route he described to get to Rectory Lane. He gave an accurate account of how he got there, the landmarks. Now, Billy Jasper's from Canning Town, and obviously you've got to remember 27 years ago, there was virtually no sat-navs. It was in its bare infancy. So how would a guy from Canning Town know Southwold and Ferrers? He either knew the route or someone had directed him to there in the first place, because he next went back with a copper and that's when he described it. And then when he got there, he dropped off Mr. D, and he said Mr. D came back 30 to 40 minutes later. Now, I've now walked the route to more or less the point of where he emerged from the bushes to do the shooting. And I'd done it at a very leisurely pace. And do you know how long it took me?
I think I do, but why don't you tell us?
Just under 40 minutes. It was a very leisurely pace.
Right.
So Billy Jasper's account, as far as that goes, is accurate.
Now, you carry out paranormal investigations, and you actually have a YouTube channel called Southend Guy Paranormal, where we see you run these investigations on video in real time. So my question to you is this. Have you tried reaching out to the Rettenden murder victims?
Yes, I have. I've been back to the lane a few times and quickly run a couple of apps down there which can record spirit voices and so forth. Even then, I've got activity on those little bits. But I went down there on the 25th anniversary, which is back in the 6th of December 2020, and it was myself with Paranormal Essex. I've worked with them a few times. We used a method called the Estes, which what it involves is a spirit box, which is basically a radio, but it doesn't stop on the channels. It's on a continuous scan, and you get the voices come through on the scan. And it was Rob from Paranormal Essex who did it. He had the headphones on, he then had ear defenders, and he had a blindfold. So it's a sensory deprivation. So all he can hear is what comes through the spirit box. And on that night, we had Pat Tate come through, and we got some good answers.
Right, yeah, we have a clip here from that event you captured on camera. Let's have a listen, shall we?
That's right, you're weak, you like this one.
Coming to get you.
Coming to get you.
Shh, he just said coming to get you. Or is someone coming to get you?
That.
Camera in the way.
That, are you glad that we've come to talk to you to find out what happened?
Now, if that's got you hooked, listeners, you can find his full-length paranormal investigations on his YouTube channel, Southend Guy Paranormal. Now, Adam, can you tell us anything Pat or Tucker told you?
What we did discover through Pat Tate, I had a list of names that were said to be involved with it, but I didn't know who was and who wasn't, so I've gone through the names. And when I mentioned Darren's name, Rob said, I don't know what you guys are asking, but he said, I've got three angry voices shouting at me. And he said, when I mentioned Darren Nichols, Rob just responded scumbag, or Pat via Rob responded scumbag. And one of the questions I asked was, did you make any more phone calls beyond 8 o'clock? And I got a response that they did, because according to the official reports, the phone call stopped around 7 o'clock. And I asked if the shooting occurred around 8 o'clock, crossed my dowsing rods. If it happened at midnight, I opened my dowsing rods, and my dowsing rods stayed open. So that to me indicated that the shooting occurred at midnight, which would concur with Billy Jasper's side of Mr. D turning up there.
So you didn't ask the million-dollar question, who killed you?
Yeah, I did. It pointed to Darren Nichols. Now, I know from listening closely to what we do know about Darren, because he went into witness protection and a change of identity. I believe he'd already had a firearms offence against him. And also, he went clay pigeon shooting with his boss when he was an electrician. So he's got the ability to handle a firearm. You know, the guy who described himself as the getaway driver, why did we get the level of anger directed towards him?
Right. So when did all this interest in the paranormal actually start?
I've been interested since I was a kid. As a child, I used to get premonitions, or I'd seen one or two things. Now I come across about 20-odd spirits I've now helped cross over. We've had questions answered with the Rettenden murders. So it's been a massive eye-opener. My perception levels have opened exponentially.
Right. That's interesting. Thanks, Adam. So are you looking to go beyond Essex with your paranormal crime investigations, like take it on the road with you, say maybe to Whitechapel? Obviously the big one is, who's Jack the Ripper?
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. I mean, Jack the Ripper would be an ideal one to start with, because again, that's another one where we just don't know who Jack the Ripper was. You know, there's links to the palace and government and God knows what else.
Well, we'll look forward to that. Now, before we end the episode, can you tell our listeners where they can keep up with all you have going on?
Yeah, yeah. My YouTube channel is South Ingoa Paranormal. I have an Instagram as well, which is South Ingoa. And I have Facebook as well, which is South Ingoa Paranormal. Most of my exploits on there.
Right. This has been a great chat, Adam. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Brilliant. Yeah, been an absolute pleasure, Alexandra. Thank you.
Thanks, Adam. All right. We have one more interview due before the year's out, so keep an eye out for that, listeners. And don't forget, you can catch our podcast and more on all major streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Google Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Until then, this is Alexandra Kay signing off. See you in the next one.